Welcome to the sequel of Timing and Delivery Are Everything, Letters from Listeners, Episode 63 of Co-Creating Peace,
a series about conscious communication and conflict transformation. I'm Kathleen Owigon.
Last week, I talked about how important it is to give careful thought to the timing and delivery of important conversations, and I offered some suggestions about what to consider when planning those conversations. Boy, did that topic strike a chord with many of you listeners. Today, I'll share with you some of the letters I received from listeners about their experiences with timing and delivery of communication, and the answers I offered one of them in response to her request for advice about that. But first, the quote for today. The author of today's quote is unknown. Tact is the intelligence of the heart. It isn't about not speaking your truths or not being yourself. Delivery and timing are absolutely everything. Speak your truth kindly and wisely. Here's the first letter I received. Dear Kathleen, I speak from experience when I say that what you said in your last podcast about timing and delivery was right on the money, no pun intended. My husband was like that guy who put off telling his wife that he had lost their son's college fund on a bad investment, except the money my husband lost was the money he and I were saving to buy a house, and he lost it gambling. I had no clue. One day I told him I'd found the perfect house at a great price, and I was sure that we at last had enough for the down payment. It was then that he finally told me what he had done. I was devastated. It was bad enough that he lost the money, but that he waited so long to tell me and lived a lie for so long made it much worse. Had he told me sooner, it would have been easier to forgive. He said that after he lost the first big chunk of our savings, he told himself he'd never have to face telling me if he could win it back. He kept telling himself that until he had lost it all. Then he just didn't know how to tell me, so he kept putting it off. I told him those were lousy excuses and didn't help me to forgive him at all. I honestly don't know if I ever can. He's now going to Gamblers Anonymous and we're in marriage counseling, but serious damage was done by what I consider to be his extreme weakness and deceit, and I don't know if our marriage will recover. I hope your other listeners heed your words and don't put off telling someone what they need to know. The cost of doing that is far more than you might imagine. Sincerely, struggling to forgive. Another listener's letter said, Dear Kathleen, I didn't agree with what you said last week about timing and delivery until I thought about it for a while. I have always felt it best to wait as long as possible to deliver bad news because a situation might blow over or get better, or they'll find out another way, and I won't have to be the one to tell them. Looking back, I saw that sometimes it worked out that way, but most of the time it didn't. The more I thought about it, the more I realized that I was being a coward, and I remembered multiple times people were angry with me when they learned I had known something that affected them and hadn't told them. I think part of what made me not want to tell them was not knowing how to do that, and not wanting to cause someone to be upset. But I see your point, because I now realize that more than once, my not saying something I should have actually caused people to be more upset than they would have been if I had told them. I'm still not comfortable with being the bearer of bad news, but you made your point well, so I'm going to try some of the things you said and see if I can get better about that. I'll let you know how that goes. They signed their letter, Recovering Procrastinator. The next letter I'll share with you is asking for advice about timing and delivery. Carmen in Santa Cruz wrote, Dear Kathleen, I heard your podcast last week about timing and delivery, and I found it helpful, but I'm still not sure about how to have a conversation I know needs to happen, but I really don't want to initiate it, yet I may have to be the one to do that, so I thought I'd write and see what you have to say about that. I'm a member of a women's group that has been meeting once a month for many years. One of our members, who I'll call Shirley, has this habit of dominating conversations, interrupting us, and even finishing our sentences for us in an impatient kind of way that makes several of us feel as though she thinks we're stupid or something. She didn't used to do this, but she's been doing it for the last year or so, which is way too long for me. I just shut up about whatever I was talking about when she does these things, and I avoid speaking directly to her because she usually doesn't finish our sentences for us unless we're talking directly to her. But of course, I can't ignore her when she speaks directly to me, so I have to respond and expose myself to her interrupting me or finishing what I'm trying to say for me. Don't get me wrong, Shirley is a kind-hearted person, tender-hearted too, and it is very easy to hurt her feelings. She's also very smart. She wants to be included in everything, and she really wants to be liked. The problem is that I'm starting to not want to be around her. The way she's become is just too irritating for me to continue to endure. It's not that I'm mad at her, really, but I do find myself starting to feel angry when she interrupts the rest of us or finishes our sentences. It doesn't bother me as much that she keeps dominating conversations, but I know it bothers most of the others because we've talked about it amongst ourselves, though never to her. Sometimes when we meet after about an hour of being together and enduring the way she is in conversations, you can often feel the irritation in the air, but nobody says anything to her about it, and she seems oblivious to it. There are others in the group who also don't seem to notice what she does or how much it irritates the rest of us. We like her, but we often don't want to be around her. We don't want her to have to leave the group, but we don't know how much more of this we can stand. None of us wants to confront her about this because we don't want to hurt her feelings, and we don't want to start an argument that might cause hard feelings or even break up our group. There are a couple of the women who avoid conflicts at all costs. After listening to your last podcast, I decided that this situation needs to be addressed. I got everyone but Shirley together and told them it was time to confront Shirley, and we have to decide how that will happen. The women who didn't seem to notice or care about the way Shirley is in conversation said that if we felt that way, they supported us in confronting Shirley, but they wanted no part of an argument about something that bothered us, but not them, so we were on our own. Everyone else agreed that none of them would do it alone, so it either had to be me, since it was my idea, or it had to be all of us together. How do you think we should handle this? Carmen did not use her real name and felt nervous about coming on as a guest to talk it through with me live on the air, but she promised that she and some of the other women would listen to this episode to hear what I have to say about their dilemma. Here are my thoughts on this. First and foremost, addressing a situation that isn't working doesn't have to be a confrontation, and even if it were, confrontation doesn't have to lead to conflict if the conversation is handled correctly. So I encourage you to not think of the conversation you need to have as a confrontation. Think of it as an opportunity to improve a situation that isn't working. An opportunity to improve not only the situation, but also your relationship with Shirley, and an opportunity to increase Shirley's ability to see herself through the eyes of others and gain insight into how people sometimes experience her. This could help her in so many ways because the odds are that people outside your group experience her in many of the ways that you do and may be facing the same dilemma that you are. It may well be that other relationships Shirley has are strained by how she shows up in conversations, so they may be at risk as well. Think of the information you need to share as a gift to Shirley and use that to set the tone for the conversation, rather than thinking of it as a confrontation, which will set the tone for exactly that. Consider using the four components of conscious communication, which I referred to in last week's episode and talked about in depth in episode 2, defining the goal for the outcome of the conversation, how we deliver information, how we listen, and how we negotiate. When you define the goal or goals for the outcome of the conversation, try not to think of that in terms of what you do or do not want Shirley to do. But instead, think of your goal in terms of how the overall situation, dynamics, and/or the relationship would be improved as a result of having this conversation and having it well. For example, based on what you said in the letter, your goals might be more fluid conversations where everyone is able to finish their thought without interruption, or less irritation in group dynamics, or greater enjoyment of one another, or all of the above. I'm not trying to tell you what your goals should be. You may think of something else entirely. These are just examples of goals that aren't focused on what a person will or will not do. Yes, these goals involve a change of behavior, But when you don't make that change in behavior the goal, there's greater opportunity to achieve the goal in a wider variety of ways, and there's more room for negotiation for how the goal or goals can be accomplished. Next, consider how you want to deliver the information you need Shirley to hear. What tone do you want to set for this conversation? How will you set that tone? Consider what I mentioned a few minutes ago about thinking of this conversation as a gift to Shirley. Consider that people more willingly move in a new direction when they are invited rather than mandated or forced. Consider that people respond better to a collaborative approach where they feel they are moving forward in a "we are in this together" consciousness rather than an "I'm all alone in this" consciousness. Of course, part of how the tone will be set is going to be your timing as well as the delivery. When is the best time to have this conversation? I encourage you to have the conversation with Shirley as soon as possible. That will be the most effective way to resolve this issue, and Shirley deserves to have that feedback and know how you all are experiencing her. It's always more effective to speak directly with the person you have concerns about than it is just to speak with other people about it. Knowing that people are more likely to hear, absorb, and act wisely on information that they feel safe hearing, think about what will help Shirley feel safe hearing you. Will she feel safe if your entire group has this conversation together? Or would she feel safer having this conversation with only one or two of you? If not the entire group, how many and who should they be? Where is the best place to have this conversation? And what is the best timing? Think about your choice of words when inviting the conversation, when starting the conversation, and when inviting the changes that you hope for. When inviting the conversation, you might simply say, "Hey Shirley, could we get together for a cup of tea? I have some things I'd like to talk with you about." Do that in an inviting tone of voice, one that will help her feel comfortable accepting the invitation. If you want to be more specific, you could say, "I have some ideas about how we could improve the group dynamic that I want to share with you and get your thoughts about." If you want to be even more direct, you could add, "and some ways I think you could contribute to that." Yes, you could be very direct and say, "there's something bothering me that I want to talk with you about." If you choose that approach, I encourage you to use an invitational, observational, conversational tone of voice rather than a firm or condemning tone of voice. It will likely not serve you well to set the tone that she's going to be chastised. She may well feel unsafe even before the conversation begins, which could inspire her to become fearful, insecure, defensive, or even become offensive to protect herself. As you plan your delivery, consider who will share what thoughts if there are going to be more than one of you speaking with her. Consider the tone of voice you will use when sharing those thoughts. Thinking about how you will start the conversation, you may want to thank her for joining you. Depending on how you worded it when you invited her, you may want to tailor that acknowledgement toward the way that you invited her. So you just say, "thank you for joining me." If when inviting her, you weren't specific about the conversation being about something she's doing that isn't working. If you were more specific, then you might say, "thank you for being willing to have this conversation with me. That means a lot to me." An approach you might want to take to getting to the specifics of what's not working is to start with a sincere acknowledgement of something you appreciate about Shirley and/or her contribution to the group. This helps her to understand, once you start telling her what isn't working well, that your perspective of her includes more than just those aspects that aren't working for you or the group. This is the first piece of bread in what is known as the sandwich delivery, and it helps balance out and cushion the information that you anticipate will be hard for her to hear. Be very careful of your tone of voice here. Try not to make it sound as though this acknowledgement is leading up to you saying, "but," and in fact, be very mindful never to put a "but" after acknowledging, affirming, or complimenting someone, because the word "but" negates everything that came before it. "However" does the same thing, by the way. Instead, either use the words "and" or "yet" to indicate that those two differing realities can coexist without either one of them negating the other, or just don't put a connecting word between two sentences. Here's how I might start the conversation and how that first piece of bread followed by the meat of the matter might sound. Notice how I framed the meat of the matter as an I message, which I talked about in episode 10. I'd say, thank you for getting together with me, Shirley. I'm glad that we have this time together. After Shirley replies, I'd say, we've been in the women's group for a long time now, and there are so many things I enjoy about you. You are so smart and so kind-hearted. Then I'd pause briefly to see if she wants to respond to that. Perhaps there might be some casual conversation. When it feels right, then I'd say, there's something I want to tell you about my experience of some of our conversations. I notice there are times when I don't get to finish my thoughts, or sometimes even my sentences. And when that happens, I start to feel frustrated and irritated. There are some times when I even feel insulted, as though what I had to say wasn't important enough to hear me out till I was finished speaking. I don't really believe that's your intention when you cut me off or finish my sentences, yet those are the feelings that come up in me. I wonder if we could work together to change that experience. Then I'd pause to hear what she might have to say in response. When I have the opportunity, I would ask her if she has a sense of why it is that she does that, or some other open-ended question to help me to understand her experience of the dynamic I'm describing. This leads to how we listen. Remember to listen, to learn and understand. This will help you to understand her and her actions better, and to guide you to how best to collaborate with her to co-create a better dynamic. Co-creating a better tomorrow than our yesterdays have been will usually require some negotiation. As you move forward toward negotiation, remember that it's not enough to tell someone something's not working. It's important to give them clear and specific guidance about what you need and what you see would work better than the way things have been. You can do that by simply saying in an observational and invitational tone of voice rather than a controlling one, here's what would work better for me. And then make a specific request, followed by, if you would be willing to do that for me, please, it would mean a lot to me. That's the second piece of bread in your sandwich delivery, by the way, the positive impact of fulfilling the request. Of course, it's important to be willing to be flexible and negotiable about how what you're requesting might happen. You might even say, what would you need from me to be willing to do that for me? That will set the tone for negotiation. Remember that people are more willing to give something if they feel they are receiving some benefit in return, and surely may need to negotiate a change in what you're requesting to make it work for her. Be open to that. You can make counterproposals and counteroffers, negotiating until the two of you come up with something that works for both of you. Remember, negotiation in interpersonal relationships will result in better and longer-lasting agreements and a greater chance of improved relationship if it is approached as a collaboration to get both of your needs met, rather than a competition where one wins and one loses. Whatever acknowledgments, concessions, or agreement Shirley makes, please make sure and thank her, saying thank you, not just thanks. Adding that word you, which we so often neglect, helps your gratitude connect more deeply for the recipient. Continue the conversation using these approaches until you both feel that you've reached agreements that work for you and meet your needs, and that you've reached resolution. When you feel you've accomplished that, make sure and summarize what your understanding of the agreements are and assure that you're both on the same page about that. I encourage you to suggest that one of you write your agreements down in an email to send to the other for verification or clarification, and to support both of you to remember what you've agreed to as time passes. You may also want to suggest that the two of you have a way to gently remind each other if either of you forgets what you've agreed to. Once you've accomplished all this, collaborate with Shirley about how to tell the group about what's been agreed to and perhaps some of the insights that each of you gained from the conversation. This is an important step in a group situation because if you neglect this piece, you may go away with two different assumptions about if or how the outcome of your conversation and your agreements will be communicated to the others involved or affected. And that has the potential to lead to misunderstandings or maybe even conflict. So, Carmen, those are some thoughts for you regarding how you might deliver what you need Shirley to hear. I very much appreciate your desire to be mindful in how you have this conversation and that you asked me for my thoughts on this. Thank you. I hope these ideas and approaches will be helpful to you and to your group. I look forward to hearing the outcome of this. And if you have more questions or more concerns about how to approach this, feel free to reach out to me again. I'm happy to help you get your needs met and the needs of Shirley and the rest of your group. Thank you again for asking for my thoughts. I look forward to hearing from any of you listeners who have thoughts to share with me or advice that you'd like to ask. Interacting with my listeners is one of my favorite parts of doing this podcast. I'd love to have some of you as guests to talk about your experiences with communication or conflict resolution. We can have a better exchange of information and a better flow of communication if we can talk together rather than hearing from you and then sharing my thoughts on the podcast. And the other listeners will get even more benefit from that exchange. So I invite and encourage any of you who would like to reach out to me. Let's talk about you being a guest and talking about your experiences and questions about conscious communication and conflict transformation. If you're enjoying co-creating peace, there are so many ways to help this podcast stay strong and live long. Choose one, choose several, and know that I am deeply grateful for your support in any form. Subscribe to Co-Creating Peace on your favorite podcast provider. Subscriptions improve podcast rankings. Share Co-Creating Peace with people in your life. Share the show on your platforms. Tell your friends about it. And give Co-Creating Peace a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts. Become a patron of Co-Creating Peace by going to www.patreon.com/co-creating-peace. That's patreon.com/co-creating-peace with no hyphen in co-creating. Your sponsorship will go toward the production expenses of this podcast. Patrons pledging $10 or more per month will receive thank you gifts ranging from communication worksheets and workbooks to free communication coaching sessions with me and Co-Creating Peace t-shirts, coffee mugs, and tote bags. Contribute to the content of this podcast by sending me your requests for advice about conscious communication or conflict transformation. I will honor whatever level of confidentiality you want in my response. You can get a free 30-minute communication coaching session simply by coming on the show to talk about a communication challenge you're having. We can change the names of all involved, including you, to protect everyone's privacy. Trust me, any challenge you're having, others out there in the audience are also having. So you'll be helping them by working through your communication challenge with me. If you have ideas for episodes of this podcast or specific things you'd like to learn about conscious communication and conflict transformation, please send those to me too. Many episode topics and guests were suggested by listeners like you. The best way to reach me is to email me at owegon@bridgesofpeace.com. That's OWEEGON @bridgesofpeace.com. I love hearing from my listeners, and I want this show to have a direct and positive impact on your life. You'll be able to hear a new episode of Co-Creating Peace every weekend. This episode of Co-Creating Peace has been brought to you by the patrons who support Co-Creating Peace through Patreon.com and by Bridges of Peace, providing mediation, facilitation, training, and communication coaching services throughout the U.S. and around the world. Learn more about Bridges of Peace by visiting www.bridgesofpeace.com. Thank you for listening, and may you always find new ways to co-create peace in your life.